We get to the end of the paper does discuss the keeping back the opponents to the vineyard. So we are Motzei Shabbat, Parshas Shkalim, Parshas Truma, Beis Adar Tavshin Pei Hei. We're at the end of the third parak of Nehemiah. So we saw the opposition from the Goyim and Eretz Yisrael to the building of the walls was expressed with mockery. That's what it said in Pasuk Lamed Gimel Vayal Egal Yehudim. And what the mockery was, it says in Pasuk Lamed Dalet 34, Perek Gimel Pasuk Lamed Dalet V'yom Lufnei Echa V'cheil Shoimrein V'yomer Ma Yehudim Ha'umlalim Oisim. What are these downtrodden Jews doing? So why does he have to call them downtrodden Jews? So the Moshe Dov Bali says a beautiful thing. He says there was a fundamental error that was made here by the non-Jews, Sanblat, and the people who were with him. They understood that the appropriate way to address the Jewish people is just as you would address any other people. And the teva of the world is someone who's downtrodden is not successful in the projects he does. If you want to find someone to invest in your business, you look for the guy that's homeless and has not a penny in his bank account but has good ideas, or you look for the successful businessman. You look for the successful businessman. Because the way of the world is that success brings success. Success breeds success, and someone who's successful is more likely to be more successful, as opposed to someone who, to quote him, doesn't have mazel. So he doesn't have mazel, So if so, the same should be true, said Sanblat. I see these Jews are umlalim. They're downtrodden. They have no mazel. These Jews, they are not successful. They're poor. They're struggling. Poor, struggling people are not going to succeed in building a massive project of building these walls. They're just not going to succeed. So that was the first thing he said. You don't have to worry about them because they have no mazel.
There's an old adage in business that if you don't have that much, you do not do business with the big, successful guy, because the big, successful guy is going to figure out how to take advantage of you.
Sounds like more
a caveat.
But do you do business with a guy that is having negative success?
No. You don't do business.
That you don't.
No, but you're more likely to have success with somebody on an equal stature as you.
Right. So over here they're saying, Sanblat says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, HaYehudim HaUmlalim Osim. Ma HaYehudim HaUmlalim Osim. What are these downtrodden Jews doing? HaYazvu Lahem. So we discussed what has been HaYazvu Lahem. We said Yazov here in the Pesukim meant to strengthen. Are they going to succeed in strengthening? Others say here it means, will they be left alone to succeed? But then he says even more, HaYizbachu, will they be able to continue to bring the korbanos that they've been bringing up till now? So that is that we know that the Beis HaMikdash was standing already, just the walls of Yerushalayim were not standing. Korbanos were being brought in the time of Ezra, yes, before Nehemiah came back. Korbanos were being brought. And what Sanblat is saying is, they think they're going to make their situation better, they're going to make the situation worse. They think they're going to continue to be able to bring korbanos, we're going to just take the whole thing over. It's over. They're overextending themselves. They're coming and they're now building these walls. They think they're making it big. Not only that, not only are they not going to make big, they're going to lose what they already had. That's what he says, HaYizbachu. Now, what does it mean, HaYichalu Vayom? Says here, Ayichalu Vayom. This is fascinating when he says Rav Moshe David Vali, Ayichalu means to complete. Vayom means on the day of completion. Said sounds like this. We're in no rush to come and stop this building project. This is gonna be great fun. We're gonna watch the Jewish people working as hard as they can to finish this wall, and the day before they complete it, then we're gonna come and knock it down. We're not going to knock it down now. Why should we put our effort now? Let's let them put all their effort, all their energy, all their excitement, all their money, put it all into the project. And then, the day before the inauguration of the walls, that's when we'll attack it. How does he see this unbelievable pshat? Hayichalu vayom. Will they complete it on the day that it's meant to be completed? Wow. What a nasty approach Sanblat is telling the Chael Shomron, the army of Samaria. This is the plan. We're not taking action right now. We're waiting for them to get to the day before they celebrate the completion of the walls, and then we'll take it down. Wow. What does it mean? Hayichayu es ha'avonim me'areimois ha'ofar v'hema serufois. Very, very interesting. Lashonos. It begs that there's a deeper understanding in them, but that we said the Pashup shot from last time that the stones had been burned for a long time with fire in the time of the Chorban Bais Rishon, and they were not good, strong stones for building material. They were powdery. And so the Pashup shot is that they were saying, are they going to be able to use these stones? What are they going to build with? They're going to use the stones that are there. Those stones aren't even fitting building material. Says Rav Moshe David Vali, you think that Sanblat was an idiot? You think he didn't know what he was talking about? You think he was talking to all the army of Shomron and to all the politicians and everyone just nodding their head and he didn't know what he was talking about? He knew exactly what he was talking about. Those stones were horrible building material. They stood no chance. So how did they build this wall? So he says, Harasha hazeh bevada hei amedaber nechona kefi hateva. Again, Sanblat is looking at it through the eyes of Teva, through the eyes of nature, just like he looked at Klal Yisrael, that they won't succeed because they don't have mazel. That's if you look at it through the eyes of Teva. But you don't realize that Klal Yisrael doesn't depend on mazel. Klal Yisrael depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to succeed, they're going to succeed. It doesn't matter that it looks to you like they're downtrodden. They are downtrodden, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can turn that around in a minute. V'nafachu, asher yishlatu ha'yehudim heima b'soneihem. Yeshua Hashem keherev ayin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can turn around the situation in a second. It's not a pella that we believe that in a second, the Beis HaMikdash, like Rashi says, bonu yimeshuchlol yered min ha'shamayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a base of Mikdash already built in Shamayim. It just has to come down. What's going to happen with the mosque over there behind the Kosel? Well, Kadosh Baruch Hu can take care of it. It doesn't take more than a second to take care of. So Kadosh Baruch Hu can bring down the base of Mikdash in Shamayim. Klal Yisrael doesn't work according to the rules of the Teva. You're right. If you look at it through Teva, there's nothing to worry about. These people can't do anything. And not only that, they have no materials to work with either, because the bricks that they want to use are all burned up. Ella shebehashkachasam hayu lemala min ateva v'hakol derech neis. Everything that was happening here was me'al derech ateva v'derech neis. So the fact that they were downtrodden was irrelevant. The fact that the stones were previously burned was irrelevant. And then he says a fascinating thing. And what merit did they have that they would have this neis? Bizchus yirei shamayim shayu b'neihem. There were Jewish people at the time that had great Yirah Shamayim. I'm reading you the words of Rav David Vali, Moshe David Vali. And in the schus of those Yidin that had Yirah Shamayim, in that schus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do a miracle for them. And he brings a pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech says, Nasata liyireicha, yireicha, you gave to those that fear you, neis, you gave them a miracle, lihisnoiseis, to be raised up and to proudly show the miracle that you did, mipnei koshet selah. Meaning, says Rav David Vali, she'elu atzadikim, kishtu etz atzmam, v'nis'oru la'avod esboram ba'avod ha'shalema. There were a number of tzadikim who aroused themselves to truthfully serve Hashem with complete service. V'lachei nitan lahem neis, and because of that Hashem gave a miracle to them, to have something that they could be proud of to show the goyim, in the eyes of the goyim couldn't believe that this could happen. And by doing so, yuchrichu, the goyim will be forced, This will force the Goyim to admit that this Jewish nation is different than all the other nations. Lios inyanea kula mushkachem b'derech neis v'lo b'derech teva. To show that all the inyanim of this nation are b'derech neis v'lo b'derech teva. And that was the point. They did not bring in new stones, even though they had paperwork they could have gotten, sponsorship from the king, they could have gotten from the forestry minister, we learned they had the proper paperwork, but they used the stones that were burned from Bais Rishon. They used those same stones. Not that they put them up there all black, all charred stones, I don't know. I know there was a time the municipality of Jerusalem decided that some of the white stone buildings in Yerushalayim were not so beautiful anymore, especially the ones around the area of Bar Ilan, Shmuel Hanavi, Yechezkel. It's going back about 22 years. And they passed some type of municipal law that buildings that had been next to a lot of traffic and a lot of soot had gathered on the sides of the walls. You remember this? So they invested a lot of money to spray the outside of the walls with some type of
steam.
I don't know what it was, but
it's a known technology. You can use steam cleaning.
They used some type of spray cleaning, whether it was steam or sandblasting or whatever it was, and these buildings that I was next to when I was in yeshiva for 4 or 5 years, I was used to seeing them with all these black splotches all over them. Suddenly, were shiny. Shiny building. So you could use a burned stone, it's all charred on the outside, and you can sandblast it or use sandpaper, whatever it is, and you can make it look nice. But there's a problem, and that's what Sandblad is mentioning, that it is not a strong piece of stone, and that was a miracle, that it ended up being strong. It ended up being strong, even though the nature of these stones was not strong. And that they, even though they were downtrodden, end up succeeding. And these two things just go to show that Klal Yisrael is not the run-of-the-mill nation, and we don't work with Darkei HaTeva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's Mashkiach on us, Ma'al Derech HaTeva. And that was one of the lessons over here. Now, when a person reads the Pesukim over here, he totally misses that out. You need the insight of how to learn the Pesukim of the Navi. So I love the Sefer Moshe Dov HaVali. It gives such insight into the Pesukim. But we cannot forget to mention that this Lamaisa is one of the big, big messages from this time in history. Don't forget, the king who was giving the permission over here is the son of Esther. Here we are in the second day of Adar over here, getting ready for Purim. And we have to realize this was one of the messages that Hashem was announcing to the world in this period after Chorban Bais Rishon, before the proper, beautiful rebuilding of Bais Sheni. In that interim period, there was a very big question that the nations of the world were asking, and perhaps some Jewish people were asking to themselves as well. If you look at Jewish history from the time of Avram Avinu, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Shvatim, they created a certain standard of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The people that saw them realized these were God's people. Then they went to Mitzrayim and they had their giant expansion. Uvnei Yisrael paru, v'yishetzu, v'yirbu, v'yatzmu, v'mod me'od, v'timaleh haaretz osam, and they kept their language and they kept their way of dress. They were known as the Jewish people that were Hashem's nation, the continuation of the Avos. And then they're put in slavery, and they come out with 10 miraculous makos and kriyas yamsuf, and here they are traveling the Ananiya covered in the Midbar, and they receive the Torah at Har Sinai, and all the nations of the world are aware of this, and they come to Bilam, and they say, "Oh, holy prophet Bilam, tell us what this means to us." And he says, "It means nothing to you. This is a personal connection between Hashem and the Jewish people. Hashem owes la'amo yitain. It's only something relevant for them. Hashem yivarech sam of shalom. This has nothing to do with you," which was a giant lie, because really the Rambam writes that a goy can get olam haba, but only if he follows the Sheva mitzvot, because they were commanded at Sinai, and it was commanded to them there as well. Bilam pulled the wool over their eyes. But the point was that after Maimon HaSinai, everyone knew Klal Yisrael is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then they build the Mishkan, and everyone sees Hashem's with them. There was a question, before they built the Mishkan, there was Chet HaEgel, and the Sarei Umos HaOlam, meaning the ministering angels of each of the Shivim Umos, claimed, now that the Jewish people did Avodah Zarah, so it's over. Now we go restart. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu can choose whichever nation he wants. All his commitments to them is gone. They had a two-way commitment. They broke their commitment. It's finished. That's what the Sarei Umos HaOlam claimed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said, no. I'm going to show that's not true. I'm going to ask them to make a Mishkan. I'm going to put my Shekhinah amongst them. Everyone will see the Shekhinah comes here. The cloud will come down. The Shekhinah will be here, and they'll see that, no, I'm still with them even after they sin, because my commitment is beyond sin. As long as they have my Torah, that's in the center, in the Aron, and as long as they are living with the Torah, even if they mess up here and there, I'm still 100% with them. Okay. So they had the Mishkan, and wherever they went in the Midbar for 40 years, they had the Mishkan, and then they came into Eretz Yisrael, and they had the Mishkan in Givon, and in Shiloh, and then they had the Mishkan until they came to Yerushalayim, and then they built the Beis HaMikdash, and they had the Beis HaMikdash, and it was a place. Everyone came there, everyone realized this is the place of God on the earth, and this is where the Jewish people are connected to Hashem, and everyone knows that he's the God of these people. And then what happened? Korban Beis HaMikdash.
Many of the things for the Mishkan go into the Beis HaMikdash. Do we know what happened to everything else?
A separate topic, 1 minute. So then we had the Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and this is the first time in history since the Mishkan that we don't have a place that shows that Hashem is close to the Jewish people. And now, not only is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, they're sent out of their land, the land which is the special land for Hashem to be close to the Jewish people. So now the question arises again. Well, maybe it's all over. Finita la comedia. It's all finished. That's it. They don't have a Beis HaMikdash. They're not in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe we hit reset now. After Chet HaEgel, the Sarei HaUmos said, oh, maybe it's done. No. I want them to have a Mishkan. I'm going to put my Shekhinah here. They did. The Shekhinah came. Now they're in Chutz Laaretz. They're in Babylonia. They're all over the 127 city-states of Paros HaMadai. And there's no Beis HaMikdash. And now the question arises, what's going on? Are Klal Yisrael still under the special connection and Hashkacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was only while we had a Mishkan. That's the question on the table. And that's the question at this time in history. And therefore, one of the 18 opinions in Maseches Megillah as what is the message of Megillah Esther, brought in the beginning of the Agadat HaGemara and the end of the first parak of Maseches Megillah, 18 different Tanaim and Amoraim, when they gave Shia on the Megillah, Pasach LaPisra LaHai Parshasa Mehacha. They said that this is the yesod of the whole Megillah. That's how it's explained by Rav Shlomo Alkabitz, the one who wrote Lech HaDodi in his famous giant pirush on Megillah Esther, called Manos HaLevi. In his Akdama, he has an 18-part introduction to Maseches to the Megillah Esther, going through each of the 18 approaches that we find in the Gemara to the Megillah. One of those 18 is chosen by the Rambam as the one that he chooses. And that's the one that he writes in his Minyan HaMitzvos HaKatzar and his Akdama to Sefer Ahava, and he writes there that the point of Megillas Esther and the story of Esther is to teach us that Emesu Mashen Emar Mashiv Tichanu Batayra, that which we were promised in the Torah is true. What were we promised in the Torah? Kimi Goy Gadol Hashem Elokim Krovim Eilav Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Eilav. Who is such a great nation who has God himself close to them whenever they call out to him? That is promised to us in the Torah, and the point of Megillas Esther and the reading of it every year is to make sure that we know Leman Yedu Hadoros, the Rambam says, so the future generations know that this Haftach in the Torah is true. Now when I read that years ago, I had a tremendous question on this. You don't need Megillas Esther and the story of Esther and the mitzvah of reading Megillas Esther every year in order to believe that a promise in the Torah is true. We believe promises in the Torah are true because they're promised in the Torah. So what does the Rambam mean? And the answer is that you could have thought the promise of the Torah is only so long as the Torah was speaking. What was the Torah speaking about? A time when the Jewish people had a Mishkan. Yes, Hashem is close to you. He's in the Mishkan. So now, if you're going to call out, so then he'll answer you, yes, Mikashem ni goy gadol, Hashem elokim krovim elav, Kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. And that would have been true also when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, and that would have been true when we had a Beis HaMikdash. But Ledoros, who says it's true even Ledoros? Who says this is true even when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash? That was the lesson of Megillas Esther. And that's why it has to be read every year, says the Rambam. And that also, according to Rav Moshe Dov Avali, is the lesson here of the way the walls were built in the time of Nehemiah. To show we are not following the rules of Teva because Hashem is guiding us, Hashem is mashkiach on us, even in the time of Korban. Even in the time of Korban, Hashem is guiding us. Now here it's a little less of a chiddush because by this time they already do have a Beis HaMikdash, but we're told by the Gemara and the Mishnah that the Shekhinah was not inside the Bayis Sheni. One of the things Bayis Sheni was missing was Shekhinah. So even though we did not have the Shekhinah there, and even though we were still under the rule of Dayavesh, under a foreign rule, but even so, Hashem is Mashkiach upon us. And therefore we are not governed by the Teva, and this is what Sanblat did not understand. So if we want to turn Sanblat into a Lamdan, we will say that it's not that Sanblat didn't understand about the Makos and Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, he knew all that. But he said that was then. That was until Churban Bayis Rishon. But now that they were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael and didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, it's finished. And now they're like all the other nations. So that's why he said, now that I see they're downtrodden, they're not going to succeed because they don't have good mazel, they're shlo mazels, they're not going to succeed. And they're trying to build with not good materials, they won't succeed. And the chiddush was, they did succeed. Why? To show that Hashem is with the Jewish people. Even after the Chorban, even when the Shekhinah is on the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is with the Jewish people. And I want to add my own personal hargasha in this pasuk, that it says, the end of his criticism was, Hayichayu es ha'avonim me'aremos he'ofar de'hema serufos. Will the Jewish people succeed to breathe life into these stones from the piles of ashes, and these stones are burned?
They have Kedusha.
Stones from the Choma, from the walls. Kedusha they lost, the Baal Mor says, because the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Baal Pritzim V'chilalua, once the Goyim took over the Beis HaMikdash, it took away the Kedusha as Motzi L'chulin. That's what the Baal Mor says. But the remez in this pasuk is that there's a Chiyus Ruchani in these stones, and they were nischalal in the Chorban, but the Chiyus Ruchani can come back. But perhaps I wasn't ever.
I don't understand. If the stones were taken away by the Goyim, so
taken away?
They took away the Kedusha. If a Sefer Torah is taken by Goyim, doesn't make it lose its Kedusha. It's while it's with them.
The Kedusha of a Sefer Torah is a different type of Kedusha. Kedusha of a Sefer Torah is Kadosh because of the name of Hashem that's there, and the letters of the name of Hashem have Kedusha. The Kedusha of things connected to the Beis HaMikdash is Kedushas Berak HaBayis. The Rambam, the way Reb Chaim Brisker explains it in his Sefer, is Mamon Hektesh Bekinyanai. The ownership of the item, being that it's owned by Hektesh, is what gives it its Kedusha. And therefore, if Hektish is no longer the owner of it, like the Gemara at the end of Chulin in Perek Shiloh HaKen, Tarnagola Shel Hektish Shemarda. What happens if you have a chicken that belongs to Hektish, and the chicken rebels, and no one can control it, and it flies all over the place, and no one can catch it? It loses its Kedusha. Tarnagola Shel Hektish Shemarda loses its Kedusha. Aye, what do you mean? Let's say you have a Sefer Torah that no one can catch. It starts flying around in a whirlwind. It still has Kedusha. That's a different Kedusha. The Kedusha of a Sefer Torah is the Kedusha from the letters of the Osios of Hashem Yisparach's name. But the Kedusha of Hektesh is that it's Mamon Hektesh, but something that is it's something that causes the ownership to be Paka. So once the Goyim come and they take it over, that says in the Gemara, Baal Pritzim V'chilulu.
If the chicken is chicken has temporary insanity, then he becomes normal again. He's back to being having
no, you have to make it Ekdush again. Now.
So that means the Caleb of the base on Ekdush also, we were sitting in Rome now, have no longer Kedusha.
Right. So we have a whole Masechta called Gittin, which lets us know that we're going to say Bethesda in humanity, that a person can get married and have a contract, and if it's violated, that's it. Can't marry them anymore. They're out, unless you remarry them right away. But in the morning, when we put on tefillin, we say Yerashtik Lili Olam, that there's no such thing as a get. That
with Hashem.
What?
With Hashem.
With Hashem.
Right.
So this concept, like, what's his name over here, had? Sunblep?
Yeah.
Sandblaster? Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
So he's thinking, well, maybe hold the mountain over and make this contract, and if they violate it, that's it, it's over. And I guess it still persists to this day that that's it, the Jews did enough averas and it's over.
Right. One of the Nevi'im says to Klal Yisrael, Heichan get Krisus Imchem. Where's, show me the get that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. I didn't see that Hashem gave you a get. Right? You're still connected, that's it.
Oh, but like in Sota, if a woman has a relationship, she doesn't need a get. That's it. He can't be with her anymore.
She does need a get.
What?
She does need a get.
No, she can say, I'm not drinking that stuff, leave me alone, and she goes out without a ketubah, and he can't marry her again.
She does need a get.
If she doesn't drink,
she needs a get.
She's also gone.
There's a Rashi that says that it's a chiddush that she needs a get, but she needs a get.
Okay.
Oh, now, I just want to say a rem is over here in the puzzle.
But the husband can't be with her.
True. But she needs a get. So they're still married.
So that's not a... Oh.
Now.
So she can't remarry after that?
She needs a get. Now, okay. Let's take a look at the. There's a remez here in these psukim. I never myself went to the horrid, scary places in Europe. There, the people go to see the concentration camps to get a chizuk, but I never went there. But there are big areas there full of ashes from Yidden, Chachman Litzlan, who died al Kiddush Hashem. And we know Chazal tell us that the word Evan is also a remez to Av and Ben. The word Evan, stone, Av, Ben, spells together Evan. Av, Ben, Evan. So perhaps there's a little remez here. Hayechayu es ha'avonim me'aremos he'ofar ve'hema serufois. At the end of the day, these words are, they're words here of Kisvei HaKodesh. So we could say a remez. Lamaisa, the Goyim, after the Holocaust, they would have said this. I'm sure they said it about the Jewish people. Will there be a life for the Jewish people after the piles of ash of the fathers and sons who are full of are burned up in piles of ash? Is there going to be a life after death for the Jewish people? And the Goyim thought there won't be. They thought there won't be. So hayechayu es ha'avonim. Avonim is av and avos and bonim. Me'aremos he'afar ve'hema serufos. Could there be life after piles of fathers and sons who are burned up in ashes, in piles of ashes? This is what the Goyim, this is the approach that the Goyim take to the Jewish people. And the answer is that according to the nature of the world, according to Teva, the answer is there cannot be. There cannot be. Mm-hmm. But according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs Klal Yisrael, not Kefi the Teva. According to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs Klal Yisrael, not Kefi the Teva, that not only can there be, but there will be. And that's a remez over here. Kefi, the way we learned here with Moshe David Vali, Hayechayu es ha'avonim me'aremos he'afar v'hema serufos. It's not so different than the way the world saw the plight of the Jewish people in the time of Haman. 127 city-states, men, women, and children, given over to the decree of Haman to be destroyed in one day. There's nothing to stop them from destroying the Jewish people. Could there be a future? And the answer is yes, there can be a future. And it's a chizik for us because we are living in the generation where we see that future. There's still a few Holocaust survivors remaining. Not very many. Not very many, but there's still a few remaining.
The oldest one has passed away at 113.
Wow. So
before Shabbos.
There's still a few remaining, and we're able still in our generation to see the juxtaposition of people that with their own eyes saw, and there's still people that remember the bringing about of the Aremos, the Afar, the Hemos Rufais, and they're able to see with their own eyes Hayichayu, they're able to see Jerusalem being rebuilt, Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, Torah being dispersed, taught throughout the world in ways that and in quality and quantity that has not been seen in history, in terms of, it's unbelievable. There's a new type of parsha sheet that started coming out about the last 1 or 2 years. Yeah, parsha sheets, you know, very nice. Some words on the parsha. When I was in yeshiva, I was a columnist for a parsha sheet called Torah from Dixie. Okay, very nice. You write some nice thoughts on the parsha. The new genre of parsha sheets that comes out nowadays in the yeshivas and in the Haredi communities here in Eretz Yisrael. It's like a folder of maybe 8 pages, large pages, folio big pages. And there's one that comes out on Taharas, discussing all different intricate discussions of how the rules of Tumah and Tahara work. And people are gobbling this up. They're like reading it on Shabbat. This is exciting. And they're reading it as a parsha sheet. A parsha sheet is something, you want something a little bit lighter. You know, oh, let me read this. Wow. They have one on Kachim. How's the rules of Kachim work? And then they have another one on Hilchos Shabbos. And each one of these things is with deep things. It's a different world. This isn't Torah from Dixie over here. This is a different world. This is a different level of people living with Torah. We have here in the Ve'akov, there's a few hundred kids that are finishing Shas Mishnayos outside of school every year and a half. Extracurricular activity.
Including some Wallenstein kids.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah, every year and a half they're finishing Shas Mishnayos. Every year and a half. We're talking about like 300 kids in the neighborhoods. Now we're not talking about 2-3 kids, yeah? And that's only in the Ve'yakov. There's thousands of them all over the country. Is this something that was expected? If we look back at the concentration camps, that we thought this is going to be, that someone could see both these things in his lifetime. We have to stop and take a step back sometimes and realize the time we're living in. It's almost like the time of Purim. Can you imagine the happiness that there was when the decree of Haman was revoked, and Klal Yisrael was given the opportunity to fight against the enemies that had already planned the attack against them? And for all of eternity, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praise Him for His Yeshuos. But sometimes we take things for granted and we don't realize, look where we're living. Wake up and smell the roses. What time in history are we living in? Look around, look what's going on. It's a crazy thing. It's this beautiful clip of the Siyum HaShas of Daf Yomi. They had the most recent one. I went to Binyanei HaOmah and they had some live footage of the Siyum HaShas in America going on. I went with Talmidim there. And one of the things they showed was they had a special... Where was it held?
Was it Yankee Stadium this time? Or
it was a bigger place. It was a bigger place.
The Meadowlands.
That's right. The football stadium.
A very big stadium.
Yeah.
So they had... So obviously, it was packed. And there was some special seating. It was not, you couldn't just sit wherever you wanted. There were people who had special permission to sit special places. So on the field, they had a special area for Holocaust survivors who wanted to come, and I don't know if they had themselves learned Daf Yomi, not necessarily. They were Holocaust survivors, and it's unbelievable. It's Mamash Nisim Niflos. You have people here that saw their family killed and burned and piles of ashes. They thought there was no future. And here they're standing and looking around and they see tens and tens and tens of thousands of Yidden, of from Yidden, celebrating Torah, singing and dancing about finishing Shas, and no hint of it getting less. And the question just is, at the end of the next cycle, where is there going to be a big enough stadium to have the event in, or they're going to have it in three stadiums, right? And they're able to see that. And so that, when we come to Purim, I don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to celebrate Purim the same way that Purim was celebrated in 1930. You know, or even in 1917, in the time of the Balfour Declaration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be aware that we're living in times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning the world around, and it requires Ha'akara Satov and it's Bainanos. And if you want to get more current, then we have that 2 weeks ago, five buses had bombs on them. They were supposed to blow up Jewish people, and no one got hurt. That's part of our celebration of Purim. That's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to include that in the celebration. Oh yeah, one time Hashem saved us in the time of Esther. Give me a break. That's not what Hashem wants you to say your Purim Suda. Kadosh Baruch wants you to realize that Kadosh Baruch is saving us today. What? And this past week, my nephew, Tom Abramson, with his friends in the army, went into a house of terrorists to find if they were hiding any weapons.
This a relative of Chaim Malka Abramson?
I don't know. This is my nephew, and he saw a big pile of blankets, and he uncovered one blanket after the next, until he found a 100 kilo bomb that was meant to be placed in a shopping center, in a public area, to kill lots of Jews, and Baruch Hashem, they were able to prevent it. But this is Mamish Nisim V'Niflois. And so this is part of our Hakar Satov and how we need to prepare ourselves, Be'ez Hashem, for the Simcha of Purim. Next week, the clock's moving forward.
Not next week.
Next week.
It is moving forward next week.
It's not moving forward, but Shkia's getting later, right?
Oh, you mean the Shkia's moving forward.
The Shkia's moving forward, so we're moving to 8:45?
Wait, before everybody goes, please wait one moment.
I say make it 9 o'clock
people
also.
Are working out.
Is that a problem for anybody?
What?
Some people, it's harder for them.
For sure?
We'll do next week, 8:45. 8:45 next week. Yes.
Might leave before I say something.
It's over.
Is anybody still here? I'm not looking.
Everyone's still here, but they're all running out because they're waiting. It got too quiet.
Okay, so right over there.
Oh, they left.
It says, Ha-Yehudim Ha-Me-Lalim.
Ha-Um-Lalim.
That the Jews are weaklings, and if you think, oh, well, I'm a weak Jew, and you stick to that story. Wait, is Yehezkel still here? I'm going to pick his number. He says, well, what am I? I'm a weak Jew. I can't do anything. But if you get together in 41 groups of all the, we're a bunch of weaklings, and that's another weaklings, there's tremendous things that we could accomplish.
Oh, very nice, thank very nice. Very, very good. Is anyone driving up to the... Kenneth? What's Chav Chesada?
The clock change.
Ah.
Yes, he wasn't referring to that.
For 4 weeks, to make it at 9 o'clock or a quarter of
9? Next week we'll do a quarter of 9.
Is that it?
Yeah, next week quarter of 9.
We want the answer to how many sections.
We need a second count. Are you driving up to the Kenneth?
We're going to Shari Tola.
Shari Tola.
What time are you coming next week?
What's a Kenneth?
Quarter of 9.
See you then.
All right. So in Mishnah Avos today, I was reading in the fourth parak. I think it's Mishnah Chaf or Chaf Aleph. You're not allowed to celebrate
the
what?
Downfall of your enemy.
I looked on Google.
Last time I checked, I'm celebrating every Purim, the downfall of my enemy. I'm not stopping. How does that, there must be another meaning or a different...
So your question, you were mechavin to a famous person asked you a question.
Okay.
A famous...
You know who it was?
Rabbi Avraham Lowenstein.
Not a rabbi, no.
Okay.
Haman.
I can print another one.
Or maybe Gemara brings it. He asked this question to Mordechai.
Okay.
He brought the pasuk. Bin fol evecha al tismach. He says, doesn't it say, bin fol evecha al tismach v'kash le'yagel libcha? Gemara brings that Haman asked this Mordechai. When Haman was told you have to bring Mordechai around on the king's horse.
So he brought Mordechai
to the horse. Mordechai said, I can't climb up to the horse. I've been fasting all these days. I don't have the energy to climb up. So Haman says, no, the king says you have to get up. He's like, sorry, I can't get up. He said, no, I have to get you up on that horse. Otherwise, the king's going to have my head. He's like, well, sorry, I can't get up. So he says, what should we do? Says Haman. So Mordechai says, why don't you just go on your hands and knees, and I'll step up on you, and then I'll go up onto the horse. So Haman's like, okay, if that's what I got to do.
That's what Haman said.
So Haman got down on his hands and knees, so Mordechai kicked him. So Haman's like, what was that? Doesn't it say,
what, Haman was so knowledgeable about
it? He was knowledgeable.
Oh, this is hilarious.
So said Mordechai back to Haman, about you it says, Ve'ata al bamosemo tidroch. About you it says that the Jews should step on the lofty ones of their enemies. Ata al bamosemo could mean their bamos, it could mean their altars, but it means also their elevated ones. Ata al bamosemo tidroch, and he stepped on him to get up onto the horse. Al bamosemo tidroch.
Okay, but still, how is it that we're celebrating?
If someone else wants it, they can have it. Otherwise, I'll put it in my...
We're celebrating Purim. No. We're celebrating
Where
Hanukkah.
Do you see is the Western Wall today?
Just one second. I don't know. I don't know.
We're celebrating Purim. We're celebrating Hanukkah. We're celebrating the downfall of...
Yeah, so we have to look in the Mepharshim and that Gemara. But the Haman asked the question. The question is, what's shot in the answer that he said? Tom Lopez said
Jews and
Goyim.
This is
familiar.
I'm not sure I heard this. We're on the radio. Quoted that Gemara. By a Jew, your enemy Jew.
Jew who's your enemy, you should not be happy. But if it's a Goyish enemy, that's something about you because you're a Goyish.
But there is something that we don't sing
a Shira. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu would like, instead of the Rishayim dying, he'd like the Rishayim to do tshuva and serve Hashem.
Every Hamas guy that gets killed, I'm celebrating. I got to tell you, you know, I can't celebrate enough.
It would be better if the Hamas guy converted and publicized to all the Hamas people that
he's
wrong.
Yeah.
That'd be better. Not to try to convert them.
The son of one of the founders of Hamas speaks out against Hamas all over the world.
Son of Hamas.
Yeah, calls himself son of Hamas.
He's scathing.
He said they're the most evil people around.
How come they didn't kill him yet?
Yeah,
he's because he has special protection. I guess I don't know. He's like somewhere.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I have to go to this.
Are you going?
Have a good, strong...
Do you want me to drive you? Very nice to meet you.
The Rabbanim said that there's no excuse which is valid not to come.
What's the
technology in the neighborhood in the home. Weber speaking, or Zilberman, or Zewald.
You can't take one of them.
You can't take one of them.
You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You can't take one of them. You